As we prepare our hearts for worship, we're starting a series this month on meeting God at the table. This is the month of feasting and the month of gathering with those that we love around our tables, those places in our homes that are the center, those places where we slow down a little while, share stories, share our gifts one to another. And we will remember each week this month that of all the tables, our greatest invitation is to join our God at his table. And with this picture and those words in mind, hear this from Revelation chapter 3, the words of Christ. "Listen, I'm standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning in this place, you are at the doors of each heart here, and you're knocking. You're asking if we might dare open that door and let you in. Let you into our lives for the first time or the millionth time. It doesn't matter. You're knocking just the same, asking that you might get to come and be in us, be with us. Be at our table. Eat with us. Share your very life with us. And we are here in this place this morning, O God, because there really is nothing we want more than to open that door and be with you. There's a thousand things during the week that try to pull us in other directions and that keep us from even hearing the knock or hearing it, things that keep us from wanting to get up and put any effort into opening the door. But not this morning, oh God. This morning we're here because we hear your knocking and we are ready to open the door and be with you. And so here's our hearts, oh God. Do whatever it is you want to do in this place. And would you be so honored by the songs that we sing, the gifts that we give, and our mere desire to love you well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 25, then we're going to flip over to Matthew chapter 26. Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 10. "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be on that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." And then Matthew chapter 26. "While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Would you pray with me? And now, Father God, we turn to your word, which is bread for our souls. We ask that you would give us open ears and open hearts so we might be fed so we might be filled with the things of life, the things of you in these moments. We believe, O God, that you still speak. And we know that we are your children. And we trust that you are a good, good Father. And so surely you want to speak to us. And so here we are, ready to listen. So would you open our ears to hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And Father God, would you help us be whoever it is you want us to be? And so you may help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What did you have for lunch on Thursday? I mean, it was only 3 days ago. Surely you remember, right? I mean, you probably put a little bit of hard-earned money into that meal. Maybe even spend some time preparing it. And yet, unless there was some special occasion, if we're asked about a meal just a couple of days ago, we started kind of going through our recipe book in our head. Was I at home? Was I at a restaurant? What was I doing? Because meals are so ordinary. They're so frequent. They come and go, turns out, every day. Most of them without making any kind of real mark on our memories. If you eat 3 meals a day, in 1 year you've had over 1,000 meals. And then in an average lifetime, that would be over 85,000 meals. That's a lot of eating. Much of that time spent around a table. And so in your life, of those 30, 40, 70,000 meals you've eaten, which ones do you remember the most? Maybe it was that first meal back home after deployment. I remember after my 2 years overseas, it was Chick-fil-A in the first 10 minutes in America. Maybe it was that first Thanksgiving when you cooked the turkey. How'd it turn out? Maybe it was that time that you were treated to a really fancy restaurant and you got to wine and dine for a night. Or maybe it was a meal at someone else's house that was actually kind of terrible and you had to figure out some way to get it down. Ever had some of that? I've had a lot of those. Don't go to Egypt if you don't like that situation. Of the thousands of meals that we've eaten, we could probably count a dozen, a couple dozen that were truly memorable in our lives, that truly did something in us. But the crazy thing is that in Scripture, we've got this God who just loves to show up at the table. And whenever he shows up at a table, every single time, just like that, the meal becomes memorable. Every single time that God comes to dinner, tables turn and hearts soften and stories are changed. This month, many of us in this room are already preparing a list of who's going to come to our table in just a few weeks. And we will be invited at the very same time, while we're making our list and making our plans, to not forget what is the key event, what is the key plan, and that is this invitation that we have every single day to show up and show up again to the table of God. This is the table that is far from ordinary. This is the table where lives show up and leave transformed. Our first table this month is found in Isaiah 25. Spoken into a time when the world is experiencing war and division and troubles and chaos, Isaiah has this vision from God of a table that will one day be. He doesn't know how or when. He just knows that someday it will be. I want to take this vision just one snapshot at a time and see what happens when God is the one who sets the table. Verse 6 says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. First things first, at this table, at this banquet table where God himself is the host, the separation between God and his people that happened just outside of Eden will instantly be restored. And God will eat with his children again. You see, in God's heart, there is this burning desire to eat with his children. That is to be at home with us. If you think in your own home, the table is the center of that home. It's the place where we gather, or we at least want to gather, and we move all the papers out of the way. The table is the place where stories are shared, where we make a little bit of time for one another. God's very first commands to humans, back in creation, Genesis chapter 1, his very first commands to humans, be fruitful, multiply, and take and eat. The very beginning of time. Jesus' final commandment in Scripture, his last one, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, says, all who are thirsty, come and take from the water of life. Eating with God in Eden and drinking the water of life with Christ in heaven. You see, God's heart is a heart that is to be at the table with his children. And so all of Scripture and all of our stories between Genesis and Revelation, it's this one big, beautiful story of this God who is just trying as hard as he can to get back to the table with his children, to get back in their hearts, back in the centers of their homes, back in that place where they share their life and their stories with him day by day. Isaiah tells of a day that God will come from heaven and set up this great big old table right here on earth. It says God will host the meal. God will send out the invites. And whoever shows up and comes to God's banquet will be eating in the presence of the living God once again. And just like that, Eden will be back among us. Just like that, heaven will sneak in on earth because God will be with us, his children, at his table. All those old stories of sin and separation, in a moment, they will be reversed, they will be healed, they will be forgiven. Isaiah wonders, will the people be eager to eat with their God when he sets his table on earth? At this table of God, every wall that divides us will crumble just like that. And we will pass the potatoes to those that we've plotted against and avoided and shunned. He says God will make a table for all peoples. Doesn't say all people who act a certain way or vote a certain way or look a certain way or all the people who eat a certain way. God's table will be for all peoples. No disclaimers to it. All means all. Isaiah says there will one day be a table where sworn enemies will actually look each other in the eye and see each other as brother and sister and friend. To come and to be and to eat with this God is to be changed by this God in all of our hard-hearted places. There's no way to be in his presence of grace and love and hold any hostility for another. There will be no us and them at the table of the Lord. These people down here, these people over there, that won't even be a thing. There will only be we, you, me, children of the same good God. Jews and Palestinians will drink of the same cup at this table. Now, we don't get that because we don't watch the news that often, but this is radical, really, really radical. When I lived in Syria, I was at a home of a family that I loved one night. They had me to dinner, and the little 10-year-old girl, this cute little girl, she's just a tiny thing, she asked me to come to her room and see her toys. So I went back there, and she's showing me all her little toys. And just out of the blue, she said, "You know what? If I ever saw a Jew, I'd kill him." A 10-year-old girl talking about her toys, just this little side thought. And you know, if I was in a Jewish child's room, they would have said the same thing about the Syrians. These are people who have been at war for thousands of years, convinced that the entire other group of people is out to obliterate them. They hear it from when they're little bitty babies. They're going to come to this table of the Lord, and in an instant, they will be changed. Every wall that divides us will crumble at the Lord's table. There will be no room for us and them. Hostility goes away. War, enemies, no more at the Lord's table. Pro-choice and pro-lifers will tear of the same loaf of bread and see each other not as labels that divide us, but as lovers of this Jesus that unites us. The thief and that paranoid hoarder who has security cameras covering every square inch of their property will share all things at this table. Without any fear of losing, they will be one. Pro-Trumpers and never-Trumpers will clink their glasses in a toast to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at God's table. And all of those fights we had over temporary world leaders, they're going to seem so silly in the presence of the Lamb who was slain. Whoever you feel most divided from, whoever you fear the most, whoever you judge the most, whoever you can't stand the most, don't say their names. Isaiah says one day there will be a table. And if you come to that table, you're going to have to let that go. Because there's just not room for it there. Not when it's God's table. He sends out the invites. Not you, not me. He's the host. And at this table, there will be grace for all. And any who come get to be home with God and with us again. Or maybe for the first time. Isaiah has to wonder, will they come? Will they come and eat with God when he sets this table with no divisions allowed anymore? Will they come? At this table, the poor will be honored. The best food will be served. Did you see that? Kids want cheeseburgers and ice cream. We like rich food and aged wines. Verse 4 of Isaiah 25, it says that God has always been a refuge to the poor. And now, in these verses, we find that the poor won't only find shelter in God's wings, but they will find a seat of honor at his lavish table. And what will be before them isn't going to be just food to survive on, not just rice and beans or peanut butter and jelly and Kraft mac and cheese. No, this is going to be a table of Kobe beef filet mignon and truffle butter lobster, if God's over all the Levitical rules. And it's going to be a table of mushroom risotto and exotic fruit salad and rare spices that you could only get in the most expensive restaurants and wine from the vineyards of Eden. You can't get more aged than that. And the desserts, it'll be a buffet. I'm just adding this in, but it's got to be of the finest sugary assortments that there are. God's table, creme brulee and mousses and layered cakes and truffles and chocolate fountains, not the gross kinds of Golden Corral, but like the real ones and parfaits. And this meal that's on the menu, it would cost more than any poor person's entire life savings if they had to pay for it. But they don't have to pay for it. There's no cost. The host, God, he just says, come. come to my banquet and eat until you are full and be honored with the very best of them and see that in my eyes you are the best of them. Have you ever noticed how our food divides us? Have you ever noticed that? We eat or we don't eat in certain restaurants based on who can afford to be there. People in the grocery store checkout, they get labeled based on how they pay for their groceries. You know what I'm talking about. There are those who buy the name brands, those who don't. Honey Nut Cheerios or Golden O's. Cheetos or Cheese Puffs. You see, our world has always tried to make us feel worth or lack of it based on the food in our pantries and the things that we can consume. But at God's table, Isaiah imagines that all of that's going to fly out the window. Everyone is going to get the best of the best, and no one is going to pay a dime. And some people may try to, please God, let me show you what I've got. Get your money out of here. No one's going to pay a dime because it's not about who can afford it. And it's not about who deserves it. It's all about this host, God, who is generous and rich and abundant and good. And this God will find great joy in seeing his children eat and eat well and eat together, wining and dining, realizing just how valued they are by this quality of care they're receiving. At this feast, there will be no fear of running out, no fear of not having enough. There will be so much that not a one's going to be tempted to hoard. Everyone will gladly share. No one needs two steaks the first time around. There will be more to come later. This is what will happen at the table of our Lord. And Isaiah wonders, will they come? Will the people come to the table? When God sets it on earth, when rich and poor matters no more, will they come? Verse 7, the beginning, says he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that's cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. At God's table, that heavy shroud that weighs us down will be destroyed. Isaiah's image is of this sheet that's laid over all the nations, holding everyone down. It's a big sheet. We feel the heaviness, do we not? Feel like you're under a bit of a sheet, a big, heavy sheet some days. The weight of anxiety just sits on our shoulders. That darkness, we so badly want to see the face of God, but there's such this thick veil that seems to keep us from it. This cloak that's over us, it is so, so heavy. So what do we do? But we just put our heads down and drag this heaviness around, just shuffling along, just trying to survive. What does your heavy cloak look like? What does your heavy cloak feel like? That thing that is keeping you from joyful, full life with God. What's yours? We've all got one. Working yourself ragged, thinking it's all on your shoulders to make all the things happen for your family. That is a heavy cloak. I bet it wears you out. An addiction that constantly calls for your attention, distances you from those you love. Oh, that's a heavy cloak. There's no way you can look up at life and freedom when that keeps your head pushed down. Anxiety, that voice that tells you that there's so much bad stuff around you just waiting to consume you, so don't let down your guard. Stay up all night thinking about all that could be. That is a heavy cloak. And it'll see to it that you wake up more tired than when you went to bed. And there is no way to dance freely with your God when you're totally wiped out. Maybe the cloak is shame. It's that list that plays over and over in your mind, reminding you of all those things you've done to disappoint God. That is a heavy cloak. You can't possibly embrace the gift of life when you are totally convinced that you only ever deserve punishment and death. Do you feel that tension in your chest? Do you feel that weight on your shoulders? Do you feel that there's something that's holding your head down? Isaiah sees a table that one day will be set by God for us. And he says, at this table, there won't be room for any extra weight. And on that day, we'll come to God's banquet and we'll have this great big old wet, watered down, weighed down blanket draped over our shoulders, and we'll knock on the door and it'll be dragging behind us. And God will open the door to his banquet. He'll meet us there. He'll say, "Welcome to my dinner party. We're expecting a lot of guests tonight. Could be a little crowded. There's no room for that thing you're dragging with you. Let me take it off your hands. You just go find your seat and rest a while." You see, we will be free from those things that weigh us down if we will be willing to take our seat at God's table. But there's not room for them on that chair. He didn't make it strong enough. There will be a strange thing on the menu at this table. You already got the spoiler alert with the kids. Verse 8, he will swallow up death forever. Somewhere between the scalloped potatoes and the asparagus, there will be this silver platter, and on it will be death. Not the typical dish you offer your honored guest, but God's not going to be serving it. While we pass the meat and the potatoes, God's going to take this dish into his very own hands, and he himself will swallow death while we eat the finest of fare. To swallow something is to do away with it for good. When I was in college, I worked at a daycare in Oklahoma. You want a cultural experience? Work at a daycare in Oklahoma. And in our daycare, we had the 4-year-old class and the 5-year-old class, and two different kids brought a tarantula to their class for the class pet, because that's normal in Oklahoma to catch a tarantula in your backyard. And so each class had a tarantula, and one day, the teacher of one of the classes thought that these tarantulas should be friends. And so they poured 4-year-old class tarantula into 5-year-old class tarantula's little box, and all death broke out. Tarantulas don't like each other. I don't even know how they have babies because they don't like each other. And they began to just fight and fight, and there was tarantula fangs, and they were crawling all over the cage, rolling in circles. We had to take the 4- and 5-year-olds away. They were getting traumatized. Is mine winning? Is mine winning? We put the tarantula cage in a closet for the night. Came back the next morning, and I tell you, in that cage, there was one tarantula. And no sign that another one ever even existed. It had been swallowed up completely. To swallow it means it is no more. Isaiah sees a meal when God takes up the plate of death. And rather than just throw it in the trash at risk of something else getting into it, he himself swallows it right then and right there. This is our God. This is weird and it's beautiful. He does away with it for good by taking it into himself. When God sets a table on earth, death will be no more. Isaiah wonders if a bunch of people will be willing to come to that table and choose to live. Will we come to this table when God sets it on earth? I guess the real question is, do we come? Because you see, that table has already come. And we're already invited to find our place at it every single day. Because there was a real night in history, about 700 years after Isaiah's vision, when Jesus Christ sat with the 12 in an upper room. God sat down to eat with his children. The separation was gone. Heaven had come to earth. And at that table, a zealot, that is a Jewish radical who wanted to overthrow Rome by violence and anyone that associated with it, sat with a tax collector, one who conspired with Rome. And together at this table, they received God's grace, not as enemies, but as brothers in a brand new kingdom. And dividing walls came crumbling down just like that when God set his table on earth. And at this table, fishermen drank the best wine that there had ever been. Men who worked their tails off every day to just barely survive. These simple, poor men. They were honored with this wine that had been aging since the beginning of time when God began to make plans to send his son to us. The poor were honored guests when God set his table on earth. And those who are carrying a heavy load, they found rest at this table with Christ. For weeks, he had been talking about being killed. For days, things had been heating up. Jerusalem was tense. The temple was a mess because Jesus had just gone in there and made it one. It was intense. But at this table, for a while, time stood still. And Jesus simply enjoyed a last gathering with his friends. They talked and they laughed. And Jesus held up the bread and the cup and he said, "Would you let me do the heavy lifting around here?" The heaviness lifted when God set his table on earth. And then Jesus uttered these words, "This is my body broken for you. My blood shed for you. Death, I'll take it for you." Death is on a platter at God's table, but not the way Isaiah imagined. Death is God himself. Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. And death is swallowed at the table as Christ becomes death and then overcomes death for us. Everyone who ate at that table was invited to join this one who will never stay dead. And joined to Jesus, who in becoming death swallows it up, their deaths might be swallowed up too. The table Isaiah envisioned would come, my friends, it has come. God in flesh has come to eat with us. Until we eat with him forever in heaven, every single time we turn our hearts back to him, every single time we pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as in heaven, every single time we make our home with him, every single time we let him tell us again what is true, every time we find ourselves at the table of the Lord again and again, every single day, Jesus invites us back to his table. And then he sends us from it to let all the folks know there's a seat for them too. There's a seat for them in that place where people are connected to the living God again. There's a seat for them in that place where the walls that divide us are gone for good. There's a seat in that place where the poor are honored and everyone is generous because their God is generous. And there's a seat in that place where everyone is free to leave their heavy cloaks behind. There's a seat in that place for them where death has been swallowed up and everyone there is just really, really alive. Joined to Jesus, they're happy and they're free. We become those people at the table of Jesus. And again today, we are invited to the table. If you're ready to be these people, let us meet our Jesus at the table. Remember, this is no ordinary forgettable meal. Never at God's table. Things always change here. Things always come to life here. The question this morning, are we ready again to come to God's table? Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that the table that you promised would come to earth has come. Thank you that Jesus really sat with his friends and took their burdens, their heaviness, their divisions upon himself, took death upon himself, and so that we might be healed, freed, redeemed, alive. We come to your table today, O God, because we want to be those people that you are making us to be. And we come to your table, O God, because we are in a world that needs to know there's a seat for them. And so we come and eat, we come and drink, so we might go and feed, so we might go and quench. Becoming your people, we will go and be your people. That's what we pray happens at this table. Amen.